He is a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island with your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
Yo, guys, what's up? Welcome to Tama's Island Podcast. I'm your host, Tama Tonga, with my man. Hey, we need to come up with a nickname for you, Ross. What's it gonna be, man? You're in with the culture. Can we call you like my culture guy, like Ross?
Culture. I'm Thomas Island's I'm the culture vulture here at Thomas Island.
Culture
vulture. Yeah. or the folk city hustler, whatever you want to call me.
Folk city hustler, the culture vulture, Ross Berman. Guys, thank you for joining us here on Thomas Island Podcast. Beautiful week here. We got a beautiful weekend coming in for Father's Day. You guys, we want to thank our sponsors to be the Man Comics and also manscaped.com. You guys, hook up your father, hook up your mans, your brothers, you know, your man's man, whoever it is, with a gift from manscaped.com using the code name Tama, okay? That's manscaped.com/Tama, use code name Tama. Cool. Let's get on with this, Ross, man. Keep me informed what's going on in the wrestling world, man.
Well, but before we start chopping it up, we do got to get some serious news out of the way. It was announced through his personal blogger, the network that he works for, former TNA commentator and pitch man Don West has announced that he has brain lymphoma. He's dealing with cancer at the moment. From his announcement, he sounds like he's in very good spirits. He sounds like he's ready to beat this thing and come back. We want to send some good thoughts and healing vibes to the West family and to Don West as they deal with this time. Because yeah, man, what a legend! Man. And he's one of those guys where, especially in the pro wrestling business, there's not a bad word anyone has ever had to say about Don West. He's just got this infectious enthusiasm, and he's always seemed like a really positive guy. I mean, this was a guy who in 2002, when TNA picked him up, he did not even really know anything about wrestling. He wasn't a wrestling guy. He was just, you know, he was just a salesman. And by 2003, he's naming moves. Like he's defining the kind of style that he made. And so just a real trailblazer and just an absolute Hall of Famer and a legend in the business. Shout out to Don West.
Man, positive vibes, man. Get better.
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. I once saw Don at the first StarCast. I saw Don West stop a fan from stealing Jeff Jarrett's guitar at like 1 a.m. at the hotel that was going on. The man, he doesn't just sell the merch. He protects that stuff, man. Like he's a
gimme police, man. I like that.
Absolutely. Just a real good dude. And we want to send out some good wishes. But thanks to everyone who's joined us in the Twitch chat. If you're subscribed to the Thomas Island Twitch, you can chop it up with us. And we'll have some Thomas Island subscribers back next week. We had some scheduling snafus this week, what with Kazuna Road and all of that going on. But next week we'll have those Thomas Island folks back. But this week it's just you and me, Tama, chopping it up, talking about wrestling. I feel like the big thing we got to talk about first is Kojima, man. Kojima and Impact having just an absolute hoss fight with Joe Doering at their Against All Odds Impact Plus special. Really, yeah, it's good to see, especially it happened earlier this year with Yuji Nagata, and now we're seeing it with Kojima. These guys kind of coming over to America, getting their flowers for the fact that they have not lost a step since like the mid 2000s when they were running the game. But man, what have you kind of thought of Kojima and Impact and the response to Kojima?
I think he's great. I love that he's out here. I've been watching his Twitter, keeping up with what he's been doing. And I think it's a great way to still stay relevant with what's going on today with all the fans. And it's actually teaching the American fans about Kojima, because a lot of American fans don't know these legends. He's not just Japanese legend, man. So it's good, man. I think it benefits everybody. And it keeps Kojima and the older generation on their toes, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I see it right now, the way Nagata came out here. I love it mm-hmm. because then you got with what's going on in Japan right now, the younger guys are coming up. We're showcasing yep. them. Gives the time for the gives the audience over there in Japan a break of the legends. Legends come out here and kind of in your face mm-hmm. over here. So it's nice, man. Everybody's still, it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And especially with a company like Impact, where, you know, it's no secret that there was a time when New Japan and at the time TNA, now Impact Wrestling, they didn't get along very well because of how the people were featured on the program. And so to now see a Kojima come in there, be treated like the legend he is. Yeah. Did he beat Joe Doering? No, but it was a hell of a fight and a hell of a showcase. And it was the Kojima of New Japan, and the Kojima of Noah was the Kojima that was in Impact. There was none of this, you know, make them into something they're not. And it was just an absolute.
When was that old TNA Impact relationship with New Japan? Was that in the mid 2000s, right?
It was like, yeah, it was like end of the 2000s, like the 2010s, as the dawn of the 2010s, like right in that era. Right. It's been a full decade. Pretty much none of the people that were at TNA then are there now, and so it's been a you've definitely seen, especially on the part of guys like Scott D'Amore and people in the back of Impact, they've really reached out and really made it clear that, like, look, that was 10 years ago. If we hold up our end, because that was the whole problem. It's not like New Japan was really the problem. It was just about TNA holding up their end of the talent showcase. And now that Impact has come in and said, yeah, no, we can hold up our end, everyone wins. Everyone gets to do business. Everyone gets to look good. And Impact's doing the best they've ever done, between guys like Omega and Kojima, and the Good Brothers, and even Finn Juice coming over. You're seeing TNA they're actually registering in the ratings, which for a long time they simply weren't. They were kind of relying on the diehards, and now they've got a return to that. They're in vogue again. They finally feel like they've got that cool factor again.
Props to TNA, man. And there was something that was brought up here on the island by one of our mm-hmm. Patreon members, Scott, that there was a rumor that was flowing around that Impact had came over to Japan and was apologizing and for what happened in the past, and just trying to mend bridges and whatnot. And that's, I'll confirm that that's true. I was there. I saw that firsthand. Scott D'Amore mm-hmm. coming over and trying to fix things, and all them guys in the past that ran TNA back then, they're all gone, from my knowledge at least. And yep. they're all gone. And these guys right now, they're trying to revive TNA, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of getting eyes on the product. So, hey, yep. cool. Hey, keep bringing over our legends, man. Kojima, bring over the next legend, Tama Tonga. Come in and squash that shit.
There you go. I'm just saying, Slammiversary tickets were not cheap. Slammiversary tickets were like $230, $250, and they sold that bad boy out. And so there are people that are willing. It's now at the point where people are willing to put out money for Impact. They're really, mm-hmm. it's not just this, you know, morbid curiosity that I think it was for a lot of fans. Now it's a real, people want to see it. People want to be in the building. And I think post-pandemic is going to be a real interesting time, not only for Impact Wrestling, but for places like MLW, places like mm-hmm. AEW. I mean, MLW, they've got this reboot going on. They're bringing back, they're bringing guys like Davey Richards, guys like Lee Moriarty. So they've got the past, they've got the future. They've really mm-hmm. seemed to have their finger on the pulse. AEW ticket sale.
We talked about this on the happy hour. I just watched MLW this past weekend for the first time. I don't watch the product. I just happened mm-hmm. to be flipping on the channel, and I saw the product, and I was impressed with how the presentation of the product. I saw it on Vice. We were talking yep. about that on the podcast before, right? I think Vice making yeah. cool moves, and yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the presentation. I'm very picky on some things, but the one thing that I did really see that stood out to me was the presentation. Everything mm-hmm. looked clean, very crisp, and let's hope that everything else follows, right behind it.
Yep. Absolutely. They've got their big return. I believe it's either July 10th or July 12th, somewhere around there, with fans. And I'm with you. If they can really match that presentation that they've got right now, I think they've got a real home run on their hands. Vice made a real smart move, kind of piggybacking off the success of Dark Side of the Ring, they were like, people want wrestling on Vice. And so let's do it. Let's see how this works. And so far, so good.
Speaking of Dark Side of the Ring, did you watch that most recent one?
Yes, I did.
Dynamite Kid, what do you think, man?
Oh man, I've read Bret Hart's book, so I am not short on stories about the Dynamite Kid. Uh-huh. But man, when you hear those firsthand accounts from like his wife and his kids, it is one of those, you know, I think as Mick Foley put it, you can try to separate the art from the artist, but man, once you hear those stories, they stick with you. And I think even Mick even got on Twitter after he saw the episode in full and was like, yeah, no, it's really, once you hear those stories, it's very hard to shake them.
See, I never read the books. So I don't know like mm-hmm. much of the stories. I just watched his wrestling and, but after I watched that Dark Side of the Ring, they kind of told a little bit of story, but it was kind of like they just kind of skimmed over everything. You know, they didn't go deep. It was kind of like it made you want to know more, but they didn't really go deep into it. I went on Twitter and I found out more mm-hmm. about people's reaction. I could tell by people's reaction that there was more to this guy that they didn't like. His performance was beyond outstanding, beautiful. Yep. I mean, ahead of his game, but his home life was crazy, man. I'm just going to skim over what I understand. Yep. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know yep. much. I haven't read anything. I will catch up on that, but it just seemed mm-hmm. like he had a tough, you know, short guy, had to yep. deal with wrestling, amateur wrestling, but fought through just perseverance over that. And that just carried, it's like what do you call it? The short man syndrome, the Napoleon.
Yeah. The Napoleon complex. Yeah. No, complex, he absolutely, huh? And especially in that era of wrestling, cause he was getting, when you were a short man in wrestling back then, your trainers would break you harder because they're like, yeah. "Well, what are you even doing here to begin with? We got to make sure you're that much tougher." And so it does kind of feel like there does seem to be a lot of I don't know if it's PTSD or if it's just he was dealing with a lot already, and then you add the trauma of those matches, you add the effects on your brain from the amount of steroids that he was doing, from the amount of other stuff that he was doing, and that it will snap that very fine tether between a person and reality, and that's where stuff gets real dark. I mean, you see it in the episodes about like Gino Hernandez and or the episode before Dynamite Smith, the Grizzly Dynamite Kid, the Grizzly Smith episode, where you've got just a monster that even his kid didn't know to the lengths that this man was terrible. Mm-hmm. And so it, I'm with you though. I feel like the 44 minute episodes of Dark Side of the Ring never give me the full story. Like the Brian Pillman episode, that's two parts. They're able to give you a full movie. And same with their Chris Benoit episode. A lot of their early episodes, they pushed that hour, 2 hour mark. When it's only 44 minutes, you feel like you're getting an introduction. Like Nick Gage, I know a lot about Nick Gage, but that was an introduction to Nick Gage. Yeah. You know, I know a lot about the collision in Korea. That was an introduction to the collision in Korea. I think Bischoff did an entire podcast about collision in Korea. That's enlightening, to say the least. You learn a lot. You learn a lot. But yeah, it's shout out to Dark Side of the Ring and shout out to Vice for kind of figuring out what older wrestling fans want. Because I think the audience for Dark Side of the Ring and the audience for MLW are almost a circle. There are a lot of outside fans that watch Dark Side of the Ring, but I think that if you really like wrestling enough that you're seeking out stories like Grizzly Smith, like the Dynamite Kid, you'll love MLW. I mean, it is old school classic athletic contests, but they've still got that edge. They've got stuff like Contra. They've got stuff like Fatu, where it does kind of have that modern vibe while still feeling like it's a part of the tradition, so to speak. And also, since we're talking about outside of WWE, AEW, now that they have tickets for sale and WWE has tickets for sale, AEW is leading the charge right now on ticket sales. They are outselling WWE. Granted, there's a little bit of a price differential, but it's still a, you know, a laureate they can hang their hat on and say, hey, not only were we in Forbes recently, but we're beating WWE in ticket sales. I mean, tell me about Forbes. It was Tony Khan. They did a piece on Tony Khan and about how he got into it. It was very much like it wasn't for wrestling fans. It was for like the business people that read Forbes and were like, oh, I guess wrestling's back. You know, like I don't make enough money for that to have been my target demo, but it was very cool to kind of see wrestling talked about from that side of media. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Props to them for even, you know, show up on a magazine. I'm about to check that out. What's Tony Khan, man? You carny, you. I love Tony Khan, especially when he throws those promos out, man.
Oh yeah. No, he has really, I think, come into himself as a personality. And you do kind of see that in the interview. Although as good as Khan comes off in the interview, his father steals the whole interview because his father basically just says, I didn't think AEW was going to make money, but I told Tony, I'm about to leave. When I die, you and your sister are going to get a lot of money, like a lot of money, like too much money. So just blow some of it now. Spend some of it now.
Oh,
go
shit.
Do wrestling. And it's
okay.
And Tony's they're apparently, because they're investing in a video game, they're not profitable yet, but they're about to
I
be.
Saw
and
that.
So like,
yeah.
good on him. He's, you know, he's
they
blowing
love
that in
front of the camera, huh? Like,
oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Papa Khan loves being like in front of that camera. I like that. These are very heelish, McMahon-ish type-ish, huh?
Oh yeah, no. When I went to Jacksonville for the AEW like announce rally thing, I basically spent the entire trip talking to my Uber drivers about the Khan family because they're like, oh yeah, no, they own the entire city around the stadium, like that whole downtown area, of Jacksonville. Apparently, Shad Khan owns it in some way or another, and so they are. I mean, they. AEW has been very lucky to have this kind of fiefdom to operate out of during the pandemic, where like it's a whole city at their disposal. It's not just a, you know, a studio. They have the whole town. But they, you know, and I remember Shad Khan was actually at the rally beaming like a very proud dad. He's got the AEW cap on. He's like in the background while I think Conrad or someone was talking. He's like, yeah, my kid did it. Nice. Good for him. It was very. It does. It kind of warms your heart. The Forbes article and all that to see how much Shad Khan supports his kid and how that's kind of turning out.
Touche, Tony. Touche.
But you know, if we're going to be talking about rich people in wrestling, and we're going to be talking about wrestling promotions started by rich people, we got to go south of the border, Tama. I got to give a shout out to at Lucha Blog on Twitter, the CubsFan.com, I believe is where he covers Lucha Libre, and he's been kind of following the saga of Federacion Wrestling. How much do you know about Federacion Wrestling, Tama?
Who?
Yeah.
What?
Well, that's the thing.
What the?
They were going to have their first event this weekend.
You guys ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, your internet service provider. How can you call that incognito, though? To really stop people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the time that you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true even if you're in incognito mode. Come on now, do you really want your parents to see what you've been looking at? What's more, your home internet provider, I'm talking Comcast, AT&T, whatever, can also see and record your browsing data. And in the US, they're legally allowed to sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so that your private online activity stays just that. Private. ExpressVPN works on all devices and is super easy to use. The app literally has one button. You tap it to connect and your browsing activity is secure from prying eyes. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Tama. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Tama to get 3 extra months free. That's EXPRESSVPN.com/Tama to learn more.
Federación Wrestling had announced that they were going to be the next big national promotion for Mexico of Lucha Libre. They were going to have a promotion, a show this weekend. They were going to have Andrade. They were going to have Rush. They were going to have Bestia. They were going to have a lot of Rush's friends like Bandito and other CMLL talent. In fact, putting this show together caused ROH and CMLL to have a falling out. Despite the fact that CMLL still hasn't removed ROH from a lot of their graphics packages, like, apparently the word is that whole relationship has been very cold since...
This is
I don't know how much of this is ROH and how much of this is just Rush, because the promoter of Federación Wrestling is apparently a friend of Rush, and so they decided they were going to have a promotion that was Rush and Rush's friends. And CMLL did not like this because Rush works for CMLL and a lot of Rush's friends work for CMLL. And so it was this big deal. And like I said, they were going to have Andrade. They were going to have a lot of big names. They were selling tickets through PayPal and Bitcoin. And
Yeah,
you could buy it through crypto. So that's just one of the other kind of red flags that was popping up as this thing was going on. Earlier this week, Rush and Andrade both announced that they're not going to be on the show for logistical reasons. And then those logistical reasons were revealed about 12 hours later when Federación Wrestling announced that they were canceling the event, that you could get refunds through Coinbase and the other places where they were selling tickets. They now say it's postponed, but they are still offering refunds. It still does not look like it's going to happen. So all of this scorched earth between ROH and CMLL seems to have been for naught just because someone tried to go all SWS or AEW on the Lucha Libre scene.
Let me get this right. I know that Rush is for ROH, works for ROH. Does he still work part-time for CMLL?
I don't know if it was specifically Rush that was the problem or if it was the Rush, the Rush friends that were going to be on it. Cause I know that Atlantis was booked for it. Like there were a lot of CMLL names that were going to be on this card. And so I know Rush is an ROH talent, but Rush was taking other CMLL guys with him to this promotion to kind of fill out it didn't sell more than 1,000 tickets because it sounds like a lot of Mexican wrestling fans also kind of got the vibe that this didn't feel like something that was going to actually happen. There have been a number of promotions in the past that have tried to do something similar, but none with the kind of fallout that this one has. Like Rush is supposed to have a press conference later today addressing things. They didn't lose a ton of money, but they still have to deal with the, for lack of a better term, the clusterfuck that they have brought.
I wonder if they're stepping on people's toes, man. If that's the whole deal here, because were they gonna have the show in Mexico City?
No, it was it may have been in Mexico City. I need to find the exact wording, but part of the problem was CMLL and AAA, pretty much all of the Mexican all of the Lucha Libre promotions have been struggling with the pandemic. I mean, there was a point where even the CMLL wrestlers were on strike. This is why you often see them working as the people that like help with the no mask PSAs and all that, you know, kind of sanitizing people, because that was paying work that CMLL just didn't have for them. And so it does seem like Federación Wrestling was an attempt to capitalize on the fact that CMLL was on shaky ground. But now that the pandemic is over Mexico still has ways to go, but CMLL is now at the point where they can bring fans back. It's now at the point where CMLL can get back on stable ground, and as they're getting back on stable ground, the ground is kind of collapsing underneath everyone involved in Federación Wrestling. I don't think it's going to be a big fallout for guys like Atlantis or any of the other CMLL who are just like, I don't know, I was offered money, what was I supposed to do? But like guys like Rush, guys like the promoter La Bestia, like there are some people that are going to have to maybe eat some crow over this.
Ooh. Dang, man. Shit, I don't even know what to say about that. CMLL, man, that's a territory. And if that's they own Mexico City, if you're trying to do a show there and trying to use their guys, somebody's got to get a cut, you know, especially if they're owned by the company. Somebody's got to get a cut. Somebody's got to be paid, at least from my understanding. So,
It's very much still Lucha Libre. And so, that you know, you gotta play by the rules or else the rules play you. Shout out to everyone. Shout out to Lucha Blog for keeping everyone updated on all the wild and crazy times that are the world of Lucha Libre news, especially in the pandemic, especially when there was so much kind of unrest. Lucha Blog does a lot of great work. They're an invaluable source on Twitter. But it definitely feels like now that the world is opening back up, even in Japan, it was either a health minister or something. They said they are on track to get back to 50% capacity. Mm-hmm. As long as everything goes well. I mean, you would know from your past 3 months, you know, it until it actually happens, you can't really bet on it. But
I saw that they got the mass vaccination going on, rolling out right at this moment. I saw the cops were getting their shots. So that's a big step from when I was there, which was just like a couple weeks ago, right? So that's to see that, I'm like, okay, we might be on our way to having, you know, full capacity here in a little bit. So, and they need the Olympics to happen, man. They put too much damn money into that, man. Trillions, billions. I don't even know. A bunch of money.
It's definitely in the billions, and especially since they were staring down the barrel of a no tourist Olympics. Like that's a big loss for a country to eat. Like the whole benefit is the tourism for having the Olympics, and so if they can get that vaccination thing up to speed, then they can have a. Look, it's not going to be a normal Olympics, but it's going to be an Olympics that they, you know, isn't going to hurt the country in a way that it would if it was this no tourist, you know, cluster muck. But yeah, it shout out to Japan finally getting the vaccinations going. We're now at the point in America where vaccination rates are going up. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York is either tonight or tomorrow night going to blow off a bunch of fireworks at various locations in the state of New York to celebrate 70%. He's like, yeah, there's going to be, he technically had to warn everyone because it's fireworks, but yeah, there's going to be surprise fireworks in like 15 places across New York State. So be on the lookout for that.
Hey, they're giving out free beer too if you go get your shots. Yep. So, hey,
free beer, free shots.
They gave me Oregon. They gave me a $5 ticket.
You got a $5 ticket? Hell yeah!
And I'll take a coupon at Target, man, for getting my shot. That's how desperate just trying to get that shit out.
Oh, dude, I think it's either Oregon or Washington. You get a free joint from a dispensary if you have if you've got a vaccination. California just announced that they're opening back up with a parade of, they had Minions, they had the Trolls from the Trolls movies, and they had a bunch of Transformers. It was very, very weird. Shout out to smoking a jab. Shout out to Meow Run Love 34 on the chat. It's Washington is where you can get the free shot, or you can get the free marijuana cigarette, if you will, from your local dispensary.
Only in America. I love it.
Meanwhile, we sent 80 to Trinidad and Tobago. The United States sent a total of 80 vaccines to the country of Trinidad and Tobago. It should be noted that a box of vaccines, like the box of vials holds like 195. So we're not even sending a whole box to some countries, but at least we're getting the vaccines. But yeah, AEW is about to go back on the road. WWE's going to be in Vegas the same week as the big boxing fight. It definitely feels like a return to normalcy is on the horizon for wrestling. How does it kind of feel watching everything open up, knowing that like you could be back in front of some serious fans very soon?
That's great. Let's get going, man.
Right?
Let's get back to the new normal, whatever that is, man. Whatever we build our new normal to be. What do you think our new normal is going to be like?
I don't know. Right now, the new normal in Chicago is you walk into the gas station with your mask in your hand, and if the attendant isn't wearing it, you don't wear it. And if the attendant is wearing it, you just kind of throw it on. Like that. That's the new normal, is just kind of self-awareness. Like,
hey, that's what happened last week. My first week here, I walked into the store, and I had my mask on. I saw some people without it, and I was like, oh. And I just kind of like put it down a little bit. I feel a little out of place wearing it here in Florida, man, because everybody's walking around without it. So, but if I see them wearing it, I'll put it on. If they don't wear it, I'm taking it off.
Exactly. And now you're vaccinated. And so that's kind of the big deciding factor right now. Like in Chicago, we have the signs that just say, if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. If you are vaccinated, you're good. And I'm vaccinated, so I can, I have a gig Friday at a distillery. I'm back, baby. The world, America's back.
I'm seeing a lot of booking happening here, and especially in the wrestling world, everybody's, I've been getting hit up, and I'm like, man, okay. That's when you know business is starting, the world's starting to open back up.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting booked. And now you're getting booked at a distillery. I love it, man.
Exactly. Yeah. It definitely, especially with the, Impact Wrestling is going to be having their big Slammiversary event where they're promising a debut from one of the WWE releases. Matt Cardona is lighting the independent scene on fire with his feud with Nick Gage right now.
Did they say that they're promising on?
Basically, the Slammiversary commercial isn't about any match. It's just like, it's like a picture of Okada. It's a picture of Muto. It's anyone that's ever worked for Impact Wrestling. So like they had Samoa Joe in there. They are like saying maybe it'll be Bryan Danielson. Maybe it'll be the Iconics. Maybe it'll like, and every time someone gets released, they add like a flag or something new to it to kind of keep hyping up the fact that like, yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be someone. Like, a lot of people thought Samoa Joe was going to show up at Slammiversary until news broke this week that NXT has scooped him back up after the WWE release. And so there is a palpable hype to that. But when you've got an independent scene where Braun Strowman is available, Buddy Murphy is about to be available, and you see what guys like Cardona, like EC3, like a lot of these former WWE talent are doing to expand the sort of borders of storytelling in independent wrestling. We have an exciting like year or two coming up on the it really is like it's because especially with the way that Impact, AEW, New Japan, MLW, they all seem to have this transparent membrane. I'm not going to say that the forbidden door is open, but it's easy to pass through, and it's very easy for anything to happen right now. And so it adds that electricity. Like I don't know. I feel like wrestling needs it. It's been a pandemic of very safe stories, of very safe wrestling to kind of keep, even SmackDown, as cool as SmackDown is right now, it's a holding pattern. It's every week Reigns is says something to dismiss Jay and Jimmy. They do another tease of Rey Mysterio and Dominic, and they just keep moving until they can get back in front of fans again. And so now that it's like we're almost there, you can start to feel that hunger from the wrestling fans. Like you saw it at Double or Nothing, you saw it in the most recent AEW tapings. Like these are fans that are ready. They're ready to cheer. They're ready to boo. They're not there to sit on their hands. NXT just had 300 people in the Capitol Wrestling Center on Sunday. Like the vibe is back. The world is kind of coming back.
I saw some news that that Rigo has stepped down. Is this a storyline, or is he stepping down?
Yeah.
Is that where Samoa Joe is?
It might be where Samoa Joe's coming in. It is storyline. Like, it was the end of NXT, and everyone's been brawling with everyone. Like, every week, NXT is some kind of mayhem and bedlam. And so William Regal was just sort of like, I'm done. I don't know what to do. There needs to be a change. and so there is a palpable change on the horizon for NXT. Because like
Open up the forbidden door, NXT. Come on, ooh. NXT. What's up, Finn Balor? What's good? Miss you, buddy.
There you go. Get you and Finn Balor. I mean, hell, G.O.D. versus MSK. That feels like a good time waiting to happen. Like it NXT, it's not my thing, but the stuff that isn't working for me is working. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those, subjectively, I'm not crazy about it, but objectively, they've definitely figured out what the new NXT is. I think being on TV kind of changed the way it was. They changed it from that solid hour of a taped show where you didn't necessarily need to have everyone on every week. Mm-hmm. And now they've kind of figured out how to use everyone every week while still showcasing newer stars like your Indy Hartwells and stuff like that. And so I don't know, maybe that's the whole point of Regal stepping down, is NXT kind of finally saying we're done being that show where William Regal is hanging out at independent shows to come grab someone. We're ready to be this WWE property. I don't know. It does feel like it's going to be very interesting. Also, I mean, And since we're talking about North America, as someone just pointed out in the chat, your boy Jay White's going to be at a signing in California. He's in North America. That forbidden door is kind of flapping around on its hinges, and Jay White's just kind of in America somewhere right now. There's a lot that can happen. Anything can happen. Anything.
That's like you said, in this next year or two, it's if there's some kind of excitement going on, like you don't know what. Yep. Well, it's going to happen or what can happen. So many possibilities. And doesn't it feel like anything can happen? Any door can open?
Man, I watched Lamar Odom knock out Aaron Carter. Anything can happen right now.
Hey, man, like, come on now. Like, did you have your bet on?
No, I didn't.
Tell me your bet. Did you bet against Lamar Odom against Aaron Carter?
No, I didn't bet on it. I didn't pay for it. I just watched the clip. I watched the clip on Twitter, but it does kind of add to that weird what even is reality right now, you know? Because like there's pro wrestling's
boxing
crazy,
YouTube
boxing's
and
crazy.
TikTokers, right? This is like, that's crazy. When, they're making more money than like boxers, real boxers.
No, they straight up are. They're making more money. They're putting themselves through less. Let's face it, they're not going through the careers that guys like Hagler and Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran had to go through. Like they are definitely having a very easy time making a bunch of money, and I respect the hell out of that hustle. I can't lie.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Let's be real. What celebrity would you fight, Tama? If you could fight any celebrity for a hefty sum,
I saw Aaron Carter, I went, man, I'll fight Aaron Carter.
Yeah, you fight Aaron Carter.
I don't know, man. Justin Bieber, yo.
Bieber.
I'll fight Justin Bieber. You know, shit. Yeah. Hell yeah. He looked like I seen him try to buff up one time when he came out of the car and some like paparazzi was like in his way. And he's like, he swole up, and I was like, oh shit, okay, I didn't know you get down like that, man. I'll slap the shit out of your bitch ass.
Hey, look, get Triller on the phone. I'll put up some money for it. I'll commentate,
hey,
whatever. Tama Tonga versus Justin Bieber.
Bieber, and you know he's gonna go get Floyd Mayweather on his side. He's gonna get all the pro training and shit, man. I'll be over here slap boxing my son. That's how I'll be training for Justin Bieber.
It's gonna be like Rocky III. He's gonna be doing all the regular stuff. You're gonna be doing pull-ups on an iron bar. And
that's right, man. I'll be out in my garage doing some half-ass sit-ups.
Oh my god!
I could approach it like a, what's his name that got knocked out one punch by Jake Paul?
Askren.
Askren. Yep. I could approach that fight like Askren. Askren didn't give one damn dime about anything. Yep.
he was smiling while he was on the canvas. Like it was hilarious.
He walked out of the ring smiling, grabbing his wife. Said, "I just got you a new house, hon."
Yeah. No, exactly. And because like, and here the best part about that pay-per-view is everyone was just so blatantly high for the entire duration of. That it's like Jake Paul didn't feel anything. Ben Askren was like, I'm fine. I didn't even know it happened. Like it was, they were breaking up weed at the commentary table on camera. Like it was.
Oscar De La Hoya was a trip, dude.
But But like that, when
he
you
was
when
high
you
on
think,
some supply, man, he was high on some.
like think of how much we're talking about that. It's been what, like a month since that fight? There was just a UFC fight this weekend. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't even hear about it.
There was a UFC fight very recently. I think someone even had one of those gross moments where they like broke their own leg on a kick or something like that. But
oh,
like
no.
But it doesn't have the traction that these, for lack of a better term, that these freak shows have, you know? Like these carny circus events.
I'm reading here in the chat, here on Twitch, and somebody said that Nate Diaz had a fight this past weekend. Nate Diaz had a fight, and I didn't hear about it? Did Nate Diaz just have a fight, or is he about to have a fight? Because I haven't heard neither. And that's bad when I know more about the TikTok and the YouTube fight.
Oh, yeah, no. On Saturday, Leon Edwards beat Nate Diaz by decision.
Oh, no.
At UFC 260. This is the UFC.
And Nate Diaz is a big name.
Yep.
Damn.
He lost by decision to Leon Edwards, and we're still talking about Pete Davidson watching two guys slap the shit out of each other in some hallway.
Pete Davidson was funny as hell, though. That he's like, what the hell am I doing out here?
he looked like he was going to fire his agent right after that show. Like it very much had this vibe of like, I don't know if, because like I know that he's trying to like not cultivate an image, but he's trying to get away from that like Pete Davidson. He's trying to be taken a little more seriously. And so like his big commentary thing was like just him getting blazed with Snoop Dogg. And like he was the best part of it, because he would say stuff like, I don't like Askren, I don't like Jake Paul, both of them are assholes, but someone's going to get hurt, so this is going to be fun. Like he was great, but he looked so embarrassed to be there. He was just, oh.
When you got Snoop Dogg commentating, I can't take nothing of that. Like, can't take the show serious. I love Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg, the real deal. He's an OG, man. But you know he getting paid money, and he's funny as hell. He's coming on there to commentate some funny shit, high as hell. Can't take that shit serious, man. But, hey, he made a killing. Gotta respect the hustle on that, huh?
Well, but that's kind of the... I don't know. That keeps being the discussion, though. Because if Dana White can't hook people's imagination, then like the whole UFC model doesn't make sense anymore, because Dana White has really made that into the whole WWE thing, right? Where it's all the money goes into UFC, the fighters are on like a they don't get the purse the way that they used to back in the old days of combat sports.
Yeah.
And so like I think that's the real attraction to these big circus events is that like it's independent. Even yes, there is some dude promoting it who's going to make a bunch of the money, but it still respects the fighters. It still gives them, you know, a hefty purse for, like in Ben Askren's case, just show it up. Like, thank you. You've given this show legitimacy. You've given, you know, Jake Paul, you are another step on Jake Paul's career, and you have been rewarded handsomely for it. That's what combat sports is supposed to be about. That's what I mean. Hell, if you watch there's a great documentary on Showtime right now, Four Kings, about the Four Kings of boxing and how, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, even if he lost the match, he won it financially because he always was negotiating for Sugar Ray. I think that's where combat sports
is changing, man. Yeah,
they really are. I mean, even WWE has kind of said they're gonna have to kind of move away from all the stuff they've done in the Thunderdome once they get in front of fans. Like the whole Alexa Bliss storyline, they're like the doll is gonna be going on hiatus. The spooky supernatural stuff is gonna be going on hiatus. We have to go back to.
Is that because people are not biting on it?
According to the ticket sales, people aren't biting on it, but yeah, I mean, I think it's because they can't control the crowd the way they can in the Thunder. Like in the Thunderdome, they have control over the crowd response. They have control over the camera angles. They can reshoot stuff if they need to. And so it's very easy to do the supernatural stuff. Whereas now it's going to be up to the wrestlers. It's going to be up to the, you know, it's going to be back on the shoulders of your Cesaros, your Seth Rollins, your, for lack of a better term, your workhorses.
Yeah.
Oof. It's gonna get It's going to get wild. But, you know, if we're going to be talking about wrestling, we got to talk about Kizuna Road, because New Japan is back. They're back on a schedule where, like, it feels like the old touring schedule where they've got, like, three on, a couple off, and they're back on. And there's a kind of unique hook to the Kizuna Road tour right now, because instead of – the main event is still very nebulous. We don't know when Shingo Takagi and Kota Ibushi are going to clash for the heavyweight title. And so right now the real focus is on the Young Lions. They're letting them go through like a gauntlet of singles matches. Yuya Uemura has faced Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. in the past two nights. Tsuji had to face Hiroshi Tanahashi and then Tai Chi. And so they are really, they are getting thrown into the lion's den, so to speak. What have you kind of been thinking of the Young Lions getting the showcase, getting this kind of series?
This is a great idea. It's run them through, man. They've been a young boy for three plus years.
Yeah.
Three plus years, man. And the whole pandemic, I think, kind of slowed down them getting sent out for the excursion. So, you know, we have to adapt. And what better way to put them through, like, these veterans, man, these guys that have been in the game? Because this is how you learn fast, man. For a young boy, you learn when you go against these older guys, man, these veterans.
And it's not just kind of throwaway matches where they're like, yeah, no, here's a veteran for you to face. Like in Yuya Uemura's case, he's been asking for a match with Minoru Suzuki for like over a year. Like he has really been begging for them to put him in the ring with Suzuki, and that's the first match they give him. That they it definitely feels it has that substance to it that I think a lot of young lion matches aren't allowed to have just by the nature of it, because it's not about that. It's about them learning in the ring, whereas now they're actually able to say, like, all right, let's test their mettle. Let's give them what they've been asking for. Tsuji and Tanahashi had a great match, but I mean, Uemura, by taking on Zack Sabre Jr., he took on Suzuki. It feels like he's getting like a little Suzuki-gun tryout right now.
Right.
Because they were like, Minoru Suzuki busted out that 1 foot drop kick that he only busts out in like title matches.
Damn, Sabre took off his head, bro.
Yep.
Shit.
Fucking hell. And Sabre was trying to break that kid. Like, he was really trying to see, like, all right, let's see which way your limbs go. And so it had this kind of like breaking him in vibe. He doesn't have a lot more Suzuki good matches to come, but like they both are going to have to face Tsuji and Uemura are going to have to face Okada. They're going to have Uemura's going to have to face Tanahashi. Tsuji's going to have to face Suzuki. I really like seeing especially guys like Tanahashi in this role where they get to, you know, see what the Young Lions are made of, so to speak, because you don't usually see the ace in a singles match with a Young Lion. He'll sometimes maybe tag with them or maybe tag against them, but a one-on-one Yota Tsuji Hiroshi Tanahashi match, I mean, that feels
I saw a picture he said that Tsuji said that Tanahashi was the reason why he came into wrestling, and there's a picture of them when he was, I think he just took a picture of him when he was a fan. And to see then and now, man, holy shit, I love that kind of stuff, man. I love that kind of stuff. I can see Tsuji going in as a baby face going towards Tana, going under Tana. I can see that, man. I can see him being a powerhouse wrestler there. I can see Uemura, like you said, going under the Suzuki flag. I can see that.
Yeah, because Uemura really does, he has that, he has that old school Carl Gotch like fire of like, I'm here to win, but I'm also, he likes to hurt people. You can kind of tell he likes to not only hurt people, he likes people to hurt him. He likes to likes to fight. And that fighting spirit, I think, is going to carry him very far. But it definitely has kind of livened up the undercard for the New Japan shows as Kizuna Road kind of finds its way to Summer Struggle. But it makes me think back to what the new president of New Japan said about being in the dream business. And it feels we're used to that being something that would be targeted at the fans, of like, we're in the business of the fans' dreams. But now that you're looking at this Young Lion match, like, I think he might also be in the business of the dreams of the wrestlers as well. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just trying to make fan dreams come true. He's trying to make Uemura's dream of being in the ring with Tsuji come true, or with Suzuki come true. He's trying to make Tsuji's dream of being Tanahashi, you know, actually going toe-to-toe with Tanahashi come true. And it, I don't know. It just warms your heart. It's that joy that I think a lot of, not just wrestling promotion, just a lot of art doesn't want to tap into, you know, like there's a lot of, I think there's a lot, especially in wrestling and especially in this area, there's a lot of like aggressive, we want to make you suffer. We're all about pain and rock and all the hard things. Whereas like sometimes joy, sometimes, you know, happiness, that's like, it's a good wellspring. It's a great wellspring for inspiration.
Yeah, like going with the flow, adjusting, you know, listening, keeping your ear to, you know, to the pulse, man, figuring out what the wrestlers want, the fans want, and adjusting accordingly. I think that's cool.
Yeah, because you can only be in someone's face so long. You can, you know, until it gets annoying. That's the problem with like in your face entertainment is eventually you're just sort of like, all right, let me alone, let me dream a little bit, and that. This is one of those cases where New Japan, they let you dream and then they make that dream come true. Just a very, very fun time. But we've had a damn fun time kind of chopping it up over this past almost an hour here on the Thomas Island podcast. I want to give a shout out to everyone in the chat who has been kind of helping us go along. And especially correcting me on things like where you can get a free joint for your vaccination. Shout out to everyone. I like to think of the chat as all of our producers. They keep us on track. Sometimes we have to go in there to remind ourselves what we were talking about. But also shout out to our sponsor. Shout out to ExpressVPN. Shout out to Manscaped. I just got another box from them of like crop deodorant, fresh razors. Oh. Like they have been hooking me up. I seriously cannot. I really appreciate it, especially as summer's here. Like you got to stay cool. You got to stay fresh.
My wife thanks you, Manscaped. I appreciate all the products, man. I've been using them, enjoying them. The crop duster. You guys,
I love the names. I really do.
Get 20% off. Use the code name Tom at manscaped.com, guys. Enjoy yourself. Ross, thank you for chopping it up. Guys on the chat on Twitch, thank you very much for joining us. We're gonna come back next week. If you can't join us on patreon.com/Thomas Island, we're gonna have happy hour this Saturday coming up 5:30 p.m. Join us. We get deep, answer your questions. Thank you very much again, guys. Enjoy your week. Stay safe out there, y'all. Ross, the culture vulture. I'll see you later, man. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island. And visit @ThomasIsland on Instagram and Twitter.